The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Luke chapter 2. Familiar story. So familiar to us sometimes that we just fail to get the freshness of the season because we've heard it so many times. But there's so much that we need to be reminded of. And it's not so much new stuff that we need to hear. It's just we need to be reminded of great truths to encourage us and strengthen us. But beginning with verse 8 of Luke chapter 2, it said, "In the same region there were some shepherds staying in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said, 'Do not be afraid, fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all peoples. For unto you today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest on the earth, peace among men with whom he's pleased.'" We think we've heard the story so much that we tend to think that we really no longer has anything to offer us sometimes. And we think we get the picture clearly, but sometimes we just need a fresh message from God's Spirit to penetrate our hearts with the truth of what's going on. You've probably heard the story before, but it's cute, and I'll probably tell it every Christmas, I don't know, down through the years. But, you know, just a little girl who came home from Sunday school triumphantly waving her paper and said, "My teacher said I drew the most unusual Christmas picture that she had ever seen." And the mother took the picture and said, "I studied it a moment," and she concluded, "Yes, I agree with the teacher. It's the most unusual Christmas picture I've ever seen." That's wonderful. But then she asked, said, "Well, why are all these people in an airplane?" The mother asked. And the little girl said, "Well, that's the flight to Egypt." And she was kind of disappointed that the meaning didn't just suddenly come out. And so the mother said, "Oh, I see. And that mean-looking man up at the front," she said, "well, that's Pontus the pilot." And so, you know, the little girl was patient, impatient with her mother, couldn't understand. And she said, "Now I see, here's Mary and Joseph and the baby, and they're all there. But who is that fat man standing behind Mary?" And the little girl sighed and said, "Can't you tell? That's Round John Virgin." Cute story. The reason I tell it, sometimes we like a little girl. We think we see things clearly, when in reality we miss out on some of the great truths that are really there. But I'm telling you that you know, it was a special night when Jesus was born. Luke tells us some very special events took place. These shepherds must have been a unique group of people. Out on the hillside, in the midst of the country, watching their sheep and their stars at night, had grown close to God because they were the first people to hear the good news. And this angel was an unusual angel because if you search the Scripture, there's not another time in all of Scripture where an angel was allowed to share the gospel. Every other time the angel said, "Go see somebody, go get Peter, go, you know, go do," but he always allowed us as human beings to share the message, but the angels never shared. It was an unusual angel in what was really taking place and happening. What a blessed privilege to be the first to hear the gospel and the first to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was the message of the angel, though, that was most important. We've already talked about it this morning, read the verse. In verse 10, he said, "Behold, I bring you good tidings." The King James translation, the New American Standard, and others say, "I bring you good news." Ultimately, it is the root word for good news. It is the root word for gospel. The gospel really is good news. When I was in seminary back in the early 70s, a professor that I don't remember his name now, stood one year at chapel as we approached the Christmas season, and he used an outline taken here from this passage of Scripture. And I jotted that outline down, and probably since the 70s, every Christmas, at some point in time, I've shared this outline with somebody. I looked at my notes, and if I did use it last year when I was your pastor, I don't remember it. Now, I didn't make any notes about it, but, you know, if the message is clear. And basically, he says, why is the gospel good news? And from this passage of Scripture, he began to show us reasons, and several reasons why the gospel is good news. First of all, it's good news because it banishes fear. Fear not. Or do not be afraid. I mean, at times, you know, when the angel appeared unto Mary, she was suddenly frightened, and the first thing came out of her mouth was fear not. When it appeared to Zacharias and Elizabeth, it was fear not. When it appeared to the shepherds, what did they say? Fear not. Appeared to Joseph, he said, fear not. Take Mary and go ahead. This is all the work of the Holy Spirit. You don't have any reason to fear. And somebody had asked me about this here a while back, how many times the word fear not appeared in the Scriptures and that we could trust it. And I said, well, I don't know, but it's a bunch of times. And somebody told her it was like 1,000. Somebody else said, well, it was 70-something. Well, I got on my computer and I punched in fear not, and I punched in do not be afraid, and I got 430 responses. And I'm sure that if you put those combinations together, you know, there's more of those. And I didn't read all of them, but I glanced at some of them, and all of them were basically saying, fear not because, well, ultimately God's in control. Fear not because God's going to do this. Fear not because God is saying something and doing something into our lives. See, we need to understand we live in a world that is faced with fear and filled with fear. But folks, I'm telling you, fear is not something which comes from God. There's no fear that comes from God. We in the Scriptures we are commanded to fear Him, but it is not the kind of fear that we normally think about. It is that we're to be in awe of God and who He is and His presence. And because of God, who He is, we have no reason to really be afraid. For the person of God is always with us in the midst of the storm, no matter what's happening in our lives. And there's some very difficult times you're going through right now. A couple people have already said something today about how hard things are going in their lives and stuff right at this moment. Well, be assured of this, that God is saying to you, fear not, I know about it, and I care about you, and I'm in control of what's happening. And understand, our God is an all-powerful God. There's nothing beyond His control that He can't take care of and He can't fix. You know, in Romans chapter 11, one of my favorite verses of Scripture is a doxology, which says that all things come from Him and through Him and to Him. He's in control from the beginning to the end, and everything that happens in between. He is an all-powerful God. And He's an all-knowing God. He knows everything about the circumstance. He knows everything that's going on in your life. He knows everything that is happening, all the details, better than you know yourself, and He can take care of them. And He is an unchangeable God. God's not going to change His mind. What God has said in the past is still true today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we don't have to worry about if God has said, I'm going to do something, and then worry about whether He's going to do it in the future. He is going to keep His word because He is the same God. Understand, He is always a loving God. 1 John says, God is love. That's the way He's basically, not that God is loving, but that He actually is love. The very definition and understanding of what love is, it came from God. He is your God. And God always has our best interests at heart. He is never going to lead us to do anything or keep us from, send us in a direction that is not best for us. One of the most frustrating thing that I have as pastor and talking with people is that people come to me and they got all kind of problems and other things. And it's because it's because we've made bad choices. And so we say, well, we're facing the consequences ultimately of bad choices. And I say, what's the fix to that? Well, the fix to that is to stop making the bad choices. So how do you stop making the bad choices? You start making positive choices. And what's the first positive choice you have to do? You settle your relationship with God. You settle the relationship you have with God, and then you start making choices that brings your life into obedience to Him. If you do what he asks you to do and you'll be obedient to him in all things, I'll guarantee you, your life will be filled with joy and with peace, and he'll solve the difficulties that are going on. I'm not saying you're not going to have any more crisis in this world. We live in a world that's ruined by sin. But I'm saying that God will give you strength to get through it. He will give you guidance. He will give you peace. He will give you hope. He will give you joy, because you will get through it because God cares about you and he loves you, and he's an all-powerful God that controls circumstances. And he's a God that has your best interests in heart. So therefore, the gospel is good news, because God says, fear not. What I've done in Jesus Christ brings a solution to what we need in our lives and in this world. We have no reason to fear. Now, we live in a world where we're faced with fear almost every day. You know, you turn on the television, you know, and you know, we get shootings that are taking place. We live in a world where terrorism is conquering us. We live in a world where more and more people are buying guns in order to protect themselves. And I'm not opposed to that. I started carrying mine in my truck because of circumstances and situations in which, you know, things are happening in our world today. We got a world that's filled with drugs that are basically taking place. And we sometimes we don't attempt great things for God in a church and in a community because we're afraid that somehow the future is not going to be as we think it might be or as planned it might be. And we don't know where the resources and other things are come. So we just kind of get gripped with fear and just, you know, become stale and don't do what God really wants us to do. But folks, we need to understand, God loves us. He cares about us. He cares about our future. He cares about our church. He sent his son into this world to die on our behalf and to pay the price for us. And then he says, fear not. The gospel is good news because it banishes fear. Second reason is good news is because he says, I bring you good news of great joy. We sang about it this morning. It brings us joy. Now, the truth is that Christmas season is, for many people, the saddest part of the year. Suicide rate goes up about 20% around the Christmas season and the holidays. Psychiatrists are busiest right after Christmas and any other time of the year. Depression grips our world. Why? Because we're reminded of how empty, I think, and sometimes meaningless life really is. We go to all this trouble to gather up all these things and presents and gift exchanging and giving and all of that stuff, and we open the packages, and then, the day after Christmas we look, and it's just a pile of garbage. Something to be hauled off to the dump, and we've spent so much time and so much money and all this effort in order to be able to get all these things, and then we kind of get depressed that our life is not going anywhere, and what are we going to accomplish, and what are we going to do, and we realize it's not going anywhere, and then, you know, so we need something to bring some joy into our hearts and our lives. And folks, you understand, the gospel message of Jesus Christ means that we have been delivered from all of those things that drag us down and all of those things that depress us and all those things that hold us down, and He's been delivered so that we can experience the joy of Christ. We can experience the joy of security in a relationship with Jesus Christ. The joy of our hope for the future comes in our relationship with God. The message of the Christmas is indeed a message of good news because it brings joy. Folks, we have reasons to rejoice because of our relationship with God. But then the gospel is good news because it is for all people. Notice what he said. It shall be good news, and it shall be to you for all people. Notice verse 10. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all peoples. Nobody's exempt. The message is not just for the select few. It is for anybody and everybody in this world. None are left out. All are welcome in the arms of God, not just the Jews and the Gentiles, not just the Americans or the Arabs in the kind of world we live in. But folks, God loves everybody. Now, I personally believe we need to protect ourselves in the kind of world we live in, but I'm telling you something, God loves every person in this world, and he wants to see them come to have a relationship with him. It is for everybody, you know. And John 6:37 says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. No sin's too great. There's nothing that God can't forgive in our hearts and in our lives, because he is a loving God. The message of Christmas is indeed that the gospel of Jesus is for every person in the world who will receive it. But not only is it for everybody in a general sense, and it's not a universalism where suddenly everybody is going to be saved, but it is also for us personally. Notice in verse 11 of this text, it says, "For today in the city of David there has been born for you." That is the singular in the Greek. That is, it's an individual person. He was speaking to them and he said, "You personally, for you personally, there is a message of Christmas." You see, if we look at the life of Jesus, we'll find that he was always concerned with the individual. Look at his life. In John chapter 3, he had a one-on-one conversation with the ruler of the Jews, Nicodemus. And it was that one-on-one conversation that he gave us the greatest message in all the world. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life." And he said, "I came not into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world." Said, "We're already condemned, we're already judged, so I came to save. I came to lift you out of that judgment and that world." It was a personal conversation that the greatest message of Christ came unto us. But then when you move there to John chapter 4, you find him talking to one woman, a woman at the well. He sent the disciples off, and he sat there because he knew he had an appointment with this woman. And there he told her, "If you'd only asked me, I'd give you the living water that would have served." And she came to experience him and brought a whole town to Christ. Then you move through that book, you find that he's going to the pool of Siloam, and there are a lot of people laying around sick, but what did he do? He singled out one man and said, "Do you want to get well?" It was an individual response to Jesus as he talked unto him. Then you find him in Luke chapter 10 where he goes and walking through a crowd of people and everybody's wanting to know him and see him, and he looks up in the tree and there's a little man there by the name of Zacchaeus, and he said, "Zacchaeus, come down, for I'm going to your house today." When he came out of that house, he said, "I came to seek and to save those which were lost." And it was on an individual basis. Folks, see, the gospel is not just for everybody in a broad sense, but it is for you personally. In your heart, in your life, God wants to move in to meet your needs. No matter what your need is, the message of the gospel and the message of Christmas season is that God loves you personally. But the gospel is good news also because, and that's what the real basis of it's all about, because unto you is born a Savior. It is about salvation. That's the heart of the message. We can't miss it. If we miss that, we miss everything. See, he came into the world. It was a message of Christmas. Good news came into the world. It's a message how he came in order to save us. He is our deliverer, our redeemer, our savior. That was his purpose in coming. In John chapter 12, as he approached the last week of his life, he talked about his death and he said, "It's for this reason that I was born." And he came into the world. He knew what he was doing and he came to be our savior. It's good news because Jesus is a Savior. He'll save you if you'll come to him today. "For him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out." But then also it's good news because it brings glory to God. In verse 14 it said, "And suddenly where there was with the angel a multitude of angels, and they were saying." Now, in our songs we talk about they were singing, but the scripture says they said it. There were words of praise, but they said, "Glory to God in the highest." Glory to God in the highest. Folks, understand, salvation ultimately brings glory to God. That's what it's about. The coming of Jesus in the world brought God glory. When Jesus was approaching the city, and I mentioned a moment ago in John chapter 12, there were some Jews, Greeks who came to seek him, and they said, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." And so some of his disciples came, and Jesus turned to them and gave a strange answer. Instead of saying, "Yes or no, I'll talk to these Greeks," he began a discourse about dying. And he said, "If you take a grain of wheat, and unless it dies and falls to the ground, it can't live again." And he talked about that he was going to the cross. He said, you know, he groaned with his own spirit and his own life. And he said, "What can I do? you know, that this will be way. But for this purpose, I came to this world. And then he prayed a prayer. He said, Father, glorify thy name. And the voice from heaven spoke and said, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. See, the greatest glory that God was going to get was when Jesus Christ went to the cross. For see, the very root word for glory means to see. It is a Greek word that ultimately, if you trace it back to the origins of his meaning, if something is glorified, it is seen or understood. So anytime God is seen, God is understood, or we live in such a way that other people will see and behold God, then God is glorified. And the greatest revelation that ever came of God was when he came into the world in the form of the flesh, born as a babe in a manger, to grow up in this world, in this society, and then to go to the cross and to die and to shed his blood for the remission of our sins and to pay the price of our ransom. And folks, I'm telling you, that's the greatest revelation you'll ever see of God. You'll see his heart. You'll see his life. You'll know what his heart is, what his heart's desire is. It's for you to come to know him and to be saved. And that not only is good for us, it not only provides salvation for us, but it brings glory to God. And God is glorified when people are saved and people commit their lives to him in obedience and live for him. When we understand why Jesus came into the world, and God is a loving, forgiving, and gracious God who has done everything necessary for our salvation. When we see all of that and understand that, then God gets the glory. The reason is that other people will see God, and they'll respond to him. And it's God's desire and God's heart that he have a relationship with us, and he live within that relationship with us, and he created us to live in relationship with him. And his greatest desire is to see us saved and brought into a relationship with him. He came to seek and to save those which are lost. He brings glory to God. And then the last reason I mentioned is it brings peace. The angels sang or said, whatever, peace on earth. What we need more than anything else is peace. We need peace with God. See, that's ultimately what we need to grasp and understand. Our sin has separated us away from God. It's created a barrier where we cannot approach God. The scripture said we were dead in the sins and trespasses. We couldn't know God or understand God. The lost world doesn't know God. You know, our politicians out there who don't know God, they you know, when they start talking about religion and other things, the reason they sound so stupid is to us who know God is because they don't know him. They're dead to him. They can't understand him and understand his ways and understand his purposes because they're dead to him. Sin has separated us from God and understanding God. So something had to happen to reconcile us so that we could have peace with God. And so Jesus came into the world, and 2 Corinthians says that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. So when Jesus was born, God came into the world to reconcile us to him, to remove that separation that sin had created, and to remove the barrier so that we could come back and approach God again, and we could have a relationship with God again, and we could live in relationship with God again. He came to give us peace. Now, once we have that peace with God, it's then that we can have the peace of God. Because as we begin to live out of that relationship, we discover that God is in us, and with us, and that no matter what we have to face, no matter what we're going through, that God is there. And he can meet our needs. In Philippians chapter 4, it says, be anxious for nothing, don't worry about anything. But by everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made unto God. And the peace of God, the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension or understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Folks, we struggle with so many things, trying to figure things out and do all those things. We never quite understand it. But when we have peace with God and we've come to know him and settled our relationship with God, Then, when we trust that God's in control, and we begin to understand that He is the all-knowing, all-loving, gracious, forgiving kind of God who has not lost control, who still loves us, folks, I'm telling you, we can trust Him then and His ways. And when we start being obedient to Him and living the way He calls us to live, guess what? There's a peace that comes that it is beyond comprehension. It's not something I can stand up here and even explain to you. It's something we have to experience, and we can experience the peace of God because we have peace with God. And He will set up a garrison against our heart. That is, it'll set up like soldiers against your heart who will guard your heart against things that can destroy the peace when we become obedient to Him. So the gospel is good news because it banishes fear. It brings great joy. It is for everybody. It is for you personally. It brings glory to God, and it brings peace. Peace with God and peace of God. And then the angel spaces the saying, and King James says, peace and goodwill towards men. A better translation is what New American Standard, some other modern translations use, is peace among men with whom He is pleased. Peace comes to those with whom God is pleased. So the question is, how do you please God? You please Him by receiving Him, by trusting Him. Trust Him for the salvation that He came to give you. That's what the Christmas season is about. Why do you think He came as a babe? He's all tied up. We don't even grasp all the things that God was doing, but it was necessary for Him to come as in the flesh and to live as a man and to experience what we've experienced, to face temptations that we face, so that as He grew up and go to the cross, He could die as the God-man. And so He came to, so that we could trust Him and believe Him and receive Him. And then we please Him when we surrender our lives to Him as Lord. In verse 11 it says, unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Because He is Lord. We can trust Him to rule our lives and to always guide us in the right direction. My prayer at this Christmas season is that you'll trust Him. If you're here without Christ, you'll receive Him as your Savior and Lord. If you already know Christ, but you've been trying to run your life on your own, it's time to let go, folks, and say, I'm going to give it to God and let Him be my Lord. I'm going to let Him rule my life, and then we'll begin to experience the peace that is beyond comprehension. Will you receive Him and trust Him today? Let's pray together. Father, we thank You this morning for the opportunity that we have here to worship. On this Christmas season, on this Sunday before Christmas, we pray that Your Holy Spirit would move into our lives and our hearts, and that we would experience You afresh and anew. Father, make it clear to us what You want us to do about our relationship with You and even about our relationship with other people. Bring us and give us some peace. Draw us to Yourself so that You can meet our need and bring us salvation, but also, Father, that You'll be glorified by what we do as we obey You. We pray for You to receive the glory. Draw us to Yourself this morning. In Jesus' name, we ask it. We'll stand together as we sing our moment of invitation. I ask you today, will you please Him by receiving Him and trusting Him? What is it God wants you to do? Now's the time to come.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ, are about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.